it's your boy.
I know them dudes you mess with usually be frontin'. All I gotta do is call his name, he coming. No taxin', all action, what you need from him. He'll provide anything you need, if you just believe. All it takes is faith the size of a mustard seed. And you can reach any goal that you trying to reach. My plug love stretch far away beyond the street. No petty-ish, my plug on that heavy-ish. Think Sosa mixed with Ox off that belly-ish. Yeah, I know you like the sound of that. Been searching around for that, you on my head, trying to see where I found him at. It was early one Sunday morning. I was down on my luck and plenty storms kept forming. Just trying to find a way. I prayed to God to see better days. Then he told me that he got me, I'm forever straight.
You look around, you need that love. Got many blessings and they from him above. Because I quit hustling, slanging them drugs. You ask why? No need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up.
Now I've been getting up with God about a year straight. And everything been smooth, yeah I've been straight. He ain't never told me no, maybe just wait. And he always been on time, he never been late. Sometimes when I be tripping and get impatient, he made me realize I'm winning cause of his greatness. He said his grace and his mercy endure forever. If I repent of all my sins, he'll forgive whatever that I did in my past, knowing it wasn't right. If I turn away from sin, he'll give me a new life. So I tried him out, it only made sense. Now I'm on the ground for Jesus and I can't quit. The devil want me to fall and yeah I may slip, but God wrap his arms around me so I can't trip. Now when I go out in the world, his blessings are with me so I can let my light shine. That's just the God in me and you can be the same way and have the same faith, but you gotta change cause me, I ain't the same Dre. It won't happen overnight or all in one day, but he's able by the children, man, my God don't play. So is you down with it? What you trying to do? You wanna call him up? Well this is how you do it. Get down on your knees and keep your head to the sky. Make a promise to the world that you gon' serve God.
You look around, you need that love. Got many blessings and they from him above. Because I quit hustling, slanging them drugs. You ask why? Don't need for bucks, all he need is your trust. For you to praise him when you get back up.
It's your boy, Ariel Jones.
Exciting training day. This is a day the Lord has made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. You know, I've learned through life that no matter what challenges you are faced with, there's always some that's worse. But the thing about it is, if you've caught on and got the revelation, if you sought God about it, you know that this is part of life. But you know, the thing about this is we win. Amen. This is just the beginning. I mean, we're in the first phase of life. You know, I mean, even if you live to be 150 years old, it's just the very, very, very beginning. I mean, to contemplate the fact that we are actually going to live forever. In the next part of life, it gets better. Much, much, much better. Unimaginably better. We think, amen, even, you know, I watch the lifestyles of the rich and whatever. And all I see is old people with toys, okay? But they have no clue what is really going on. And that's not the epitome of life, because one thing about it is when you live this life, amen, you're gonna get some mileage on, and it's going to show, you know? But I thank God my mileage don't show. People are always telling me, you don't look 70. You know, I call it the Jesus effect. You know, I don't know what Ponce de Leon, I know some of y'all probably don't know who he was, but he was the guy that was looking for the fountain of youth. That's what they told us in high school, in grade school. Well, I tell you what the fountain of youth is. It's Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Drink of that living water. But amen, giving honor to Jesus Christ and amen, his Father, the Lord God, Jehovah, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. And my producer, Pastor O, and his lovely wife, and my brothers and friends and saints at Wonderful Christ Ministries. Amen. And from Calvary Christian Center and all the different saints that are listening in today. Saints back up at U of M. Amen. Praise God for those. And even if you're from the other place, state, amen. Praise God. Amen. I just thank God for the opportunity for, amen, for the friends and family over in Burkina Faso, Africa. Hallelujah. You know, I just thank God. This is marvelous what we are doing. Amen. Well, God is sending the gospel throughout the whole world. Amen. I mean, this is a powerful place to be, and it's a great place, amen, to be, amen, on God's side in the last these days. Hallelujah. Going to a brand new era of life. Let's go before the throne of grace. Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you and bless you for this opportunity to come before your throne, to come before you. Amen. We thank you for the utterance of your name, Jesus. We just thank you for the price you paid for the privilege of our life. You rescued us, Lord, and we could not rescue ourselves. We thank you, Lord, born into a world of sin, but you rescued us out of it. We thank you for the Holy Ghost. And Holy Ghost, we thank you for being a friend, a comforter, a guide, a strength. Amen. We're asking right now that you continue to bless us with the intelligence of your wisdom and a deeper revelation of the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Continue to bless the eyes of our understanding to be more enlightened, that we will know more and better understand what is the hope of your calling. What is the riches of your glory and the inheritance that you have in us, the saints of God, and the great and exceeding power you've made available to those of us who submit and obey you. To those who are yet facing challenges, amen, in the hour of bereavement, I ask that you would strengthen them with might. And those that are facing other challenges, be that, amen, sickness or whatever it is, amen, financial or stress or marriage, amen, that you would strengthen them with might. Bless them with the revelation. Strengthen them with might and bless them with the full understanding of love. Amen. Bless them to be rooted and grounded in it. Give us the knowledge of your will, Lord, and give us the strength and the courage to carry it out so that we can be fruitful in every good work according to you, and so that we can walk up right before you, and bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. And Father, we ask that you bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people that which you would have us to say. Let it be all of you and none of me, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, I was contemplating, waiting on the Lord as to where we were going, this thing. And I've been talking about how and why to be led of the Spirit. But it's really, this is the life that we live. That's what it's all about. That's what it was always intended to be about. Even though it went through a long, lengthy process starting from Adam, it was, if you look through the Bible, you'll see that it was always God's intention that we learn his way, his perceptions, and his concepts about life, because he is designed for us to be in an eternal rulership position, and he wanted done in a manner that he does desire, to do it as he would. And you look at how he does, and you see the various aspects. You know, it's amazing when you read through the Bible. You know, I used to think of God being this person that was impervious to everything. And then when I began to read in the Old Testament, I remember when the children of Israel, when God had brought them out of Israel, out of Egypt, I mean, and they were sitting at, at the base of Mount Sinai. Moses was up on the mountain getting the commandments of God, just getting this thing started to a real certified level, getting established and getting the rules. They were down there partying because that was all they knew. That was all they knew. So, you know, they did what they knew. But what caught my attention was not only that it it offended God. But what really caught my attention was this statement, telling Moses to get out of his way. And I looked at that, and I'm like, wait a minute. You know, if God was a regular person, he would be bigger than Goliath, 15 feet tall, you know, about 2,000 pounds, solid muscle. How would Moses, who would have been at that time probably about 5'11", maybe about 170 pounds, get in his way? But what I saw then at that moment was emotion. I saw God's compassion. I saw his feelings being hurt. Let me tell you, saints, the best way to deal with God is as a person, God the person. See, God the spirit. The spirit is a person. It's an intellectual, comprehending individual, okay? And not a systematic robot that just sputes out orders. You know, and while I'm at it, go to Romans chapter 7, because we're going to get into a different aspect of I call it agony and ecstasy. If you've never read that book, it's about Michelangelo, if I'm correct. But anyway, it's really a good book to read. But it's the challenges that he went through to become the artist that he was. And in this life, you will go through challenges. And everybody go through challenges. You're not going to get into this thing. You know, don't fall into this misunderstanding that if you become a Christian, everything going to be all right. Everything will work out. But you're going to be challenged. Remember, if you look, for those of you that new that don't know, if you go to the Millennial Kingdom Training website, it'll be on the MillennialKingdomTraining.com, you know, that I have. You will find a segment of teaching of why does Satan exist. And that's because, you know, God can't lie, can't steal, deceive, or trick. But we need to understand those perceptions so we know that they are not right. Because there are people, and I have met them, that really believe that their way, being a thief, being a liar, being a crook, is a normal way of life. I mean, I did 31 years in law enforcement, and now I worked for the sheriff department, and we worked, and you had to do tours in the jail. You started out working in the jail. And I remember talking to a guy and telling me that if he didn't do what he do, we couldn't do what we do. So it wouldn't be no police if he wasn't a thief. So he felt like he was part of the economy. I mean, it was really amazing. I wanted to see his brain in the jar because I could not believe it was gray listening to him. You know, but again, I understood that is one of the things of being in the ministry that of Jesus Christ. We are to pray for them because none of us had the revelation of God until people kept praying for us to get it. And in my case, I know it was my mother, I know it was my sister, and I know it was a friend, a next-door neighbor. And remember this, new people, if you're praying for somebody, you will have to pray for them more than once. It's not believing God like the same as believing God for a car. You believe God for a car, then you need to believe God for a revelation on how you're going to get it, okay? But you're going to get it, okay? That's the thing about that. You have to put that out there, and don't let the devil trick you into saying anything opposite of it. So, but that's another game in and of itself. Okay, so we're talking about, you know, the Bible tells you that, you know, to study the word, amen, study the word of God so that you can rightfully divide it and be a workman, not ashamed. In other words, study the word. So you have a full understanding, or as much as possible, an understanding of what this life is about. I mean, the Word of God is designed to shape, correct you, you know, instruct you, get you when you get off track, put you back on track. Now, by my reading, when I first read, you know, when I first read through the Bible, and I got to this particular chapter, because the Bible is God does not let up. He said, be ye perfect as I am perfect. Be ye holy as I am holy. And when I read that, I'm like, you got to be kidding me, God. We can't do what you do. Because God has complete control. Jesus had complete control of the atmosphere, of the environment, you know. And it's different. We don't have complete. Jesus had faith without measure. We got a measure. You know, he had the spirit without measure. We have a measure. We only allowed access because also we've seen in history where people abuse what they have. All right. So anyway, in reading the Bible on that journey, I came to Romans chapter 7, and we want to go to verse 15. And I'm going to read two versions. I'm going to read you the hard version right now, and that would be the King James. And that is because in reading this, it really set me free because, you know, there's a concept, but even, you know, you think of particularly Apostle Paul wrote this. Now, you think about this, and even though I had read in the book of Acts of Paul's history and how he came to be an apostle, you really, and the relationship with him and God isn't the same as it was with everybody. I mean, Jesus did not meet me on the road. Well, he kind of, sort of, he met me at church, but he did not physically, his presence, well, I know his presence didn't leave me blind. He actually opened my eyes. But it wasn't the same as Paul. You know, actually, when you read it in Acts chapter 9, when he met him, for those of you that don't know, because I keep forgetting, I remember that there's new people. You read that Jesus appeared, and Paul had a group with him, and they were going to hunt down some more Christians and prosecute them. And he met with Jesus, and Jesus met him on the road, but his presence shook the area. You know, I know the ground quaked, and his voice was like loud. Think about the loud thunder that you hear. That's what his voice was like. I mean, it carried that type, you know, to the point that it knocked folk down, you know. But anyway, it was a unique situation, and all the way through, and that's because Paul had a particular mission, so his relationship was different. So you really don't think of him as a person that kind of misses it as much as the average person does, the same struggle. But then I came to this chapter. And it's really, if it's recorded in the Bible, it has obviously reason. God wants us to know it. And then, now I'm going to read this because it reads kind of challenging. You'll get it as I read it. It says, Romans chapter 7, verse 14, it says, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not, for what I would do, I do not, but what I hate, that I do. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good." The law is good. Okay. Now then, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me, or in my flesh. It says, "For I know that in me, that is, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God, and afterward the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." And I got to read this solution in 8:1. Okay. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You know, so they, you know, now I want to read this again from the Amplified, which is a little bit clearer. you know, a little more in the English language. It says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am a creature of the flesh, worldly, self-reliant, carnal, unspiritual, sold into slavery to sin and serving under its control. For I do not understand my own actions. I am baffled and bewildered by them. I do not practice what I want to do, but I am doing the very thing I hate and yielding to my human nature, my worldliness, my sinful capacity. Now, if I habitually do what I do not want to do, that means I agree with the law, confessing that it is good, morally excellent. Now, if that is the case, then it is no longer I who do it, this disobedient thing which I despise, but the sin nature which lives in me. For I know that nothing good lives in me, that is, in my flesh, my human nature, my worldliness, my sinful capacity. For the willingness to do good is present in me, but the doing of good is not. For the good that I want to do, I do not, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want to do, I am no longer the one doing that. That is, it is not me that acts, but the sin nature which lives in me. So I find it to be the law of my inner self that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. For I joyfully delight in the law of God in my inner self with my new nature. But I see a different law and a rule of action in the members of my body, in its appetites and desires, in waging war against the law of my mind and subduing me and making me a prisoner of the law of sin, which is in within my members. Wretched and miserable man that I am, who will rescue me and set me free from this body of death, this corrupt mortal existence? Thanks be to God for my deliverance through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself, with my mind, serve the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, my human nature, my worldliness, my sinful capacity, I serve the law of sin. Therefore, there is now no condemnation, no guilty verdict, no punishment for those who are in Christ Jesus, who believe in him as personal Lord and Savior. Okay. Whew. Bottom line is like this. In your mind, once you come to know Christ, you want to do the right thing. That's the way it is. Even though when we start out, we have limited knowledge of exactly what the right thing. Some things we know by nature are right. Okay, we know that stealing is wrong. We know that lying is wrong. Those things we know right off the bat, because that's kind of like an international amongst all species rule. Okay, certain things, sleeping with somebody else's wife, you know, ain't right. It's a husband. So, and you know, it's certain things you know. But it's amazing that you will have this battle in some areas of your life. And I can tell you from experience, you will win the battle, because it's about us learning how to fight in the spiritual realm. This is why we have to think. We have to be conscious of what's going on. This is why you have to read the Bible. Otherwise, you don't have full revelation of what is going on. Now, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 5 and 8, because see, it's one thing, like I say, you can't, if you're not aware of what is going on, there's no way to defend yourself about who is provoking what is going on, which is Satan or a local demon. Satan ain't everywhere with everybody. He's not like God. He's not omnipresent. He ain't in 2,000. He can't be in 20 countries or 100 countries at the same time. But he does have an army. They do have a communication network. Demons don't need cell phones to talk to each other. See, this is why I know we're dealing with some of a creature that's of a very high intelligence, a very high intellect. They just don't have the wisdom. Otherwise, they wouldn't be demons. They'd be like Gabriel and them. They would have kept their place in heaven. I mean, you know, but the fact is they do exist. And they're limited in what they do. And it's amazing. Rarely, they occasionally, depending on the environment, do they actually come in somebody and take them completely over and just dominate them. They probably attempt to take over many people. They fail. Even those that are not saved, they fail. Because, this is what, like I said, these guys are not nice guys. They don't have no interest in your well-being at all. I mean, all right, this is what they do. This is how there was once angels and good fell from that position. And with angels, unlike us, they don't get forgiveness. They fall, that's it. It's a done deal. Because they don't have to deal with this flesh. Okay? Remember this. I remember this. And it's one of the thoughts that a professor said way back in the day, that what it takes God to run the universe is what it takes us to run the body. Now, if you think about this, your body, no matter, now with technology today, we can actually see that every aspect of your body is a composite of cells that you command. They do what you do, they go where you go, and if they don't go where you go, they fall off, they die. Okay? This is why you have to take a shower every day. You know, disobedient cells. All right. So the point is this is preparation, training. You know, I didn't begin this teaching. It just it's one of those teachings that did not catch on. But when the first time I heard the person that taught it, which is a gentleman, Chinese man, that lived between 1900 and 1940, named Watchman Nee, way back in the 70s, he was one of our early books to study the spiritual man, which you probably might be able to find a copy of. But, you know, I guess the way he wrote it, it was almost like overbearing, you know. I mean, thank somebody else I know, if they teach you on something, they give you all 200 scriptures that relate to the issue so that you will be clear, this is God's plan. But what I picked up once listening to him was that he was saying that this life prepares you to live the next life because the next life will have more responsibility. And if you don't get it in this life, you don't, you know, I mean, this is why good people wind up in hell, because they don't get it. This is why a lot of Christians are going to get left behind after the rapture, because they don't get it. But this is, when you open and close your hand, that's 10 million signals to trillions of cells at the same time without you even opening your mouth, because you have the likeness of God. What we see physically is the image of God, the authority. This is what, this is deep. This is, the Bible is the science of God, the psychology of God. It is everything about God, and this is what we're supposed to learn. Now, Satan is set loose because he represents the evil side, and it tells God who's your God. If you consistently follow Satan and his ways, then that's your God. It is what it is, you know. We get to pick and choose. We didn't get to pick and choose where we were born. We don't get to pick and choose when we're going to die, but we get to pick and choose where we're going after we die. All right, so now, here we are, 1 Peter chapter 5, and we're going to start with verse 6. So frequently use scripture, and rightfully so, you know. Matter of fact, I want to start with verse 5. It says, young men, in the same way, I ought to start with one, but for the sake of time, I'm going to start here at verse 5. Young men in the same way, because now in the same way, he's talking about how Jesus was submissive to God, okay? All right. And how he handled being being a person of such a level of authority and power in how he handled himself. So young men, in the same way, be submissive to those who are older, all of you. Clothe yourselves with humility one another, because God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under God's mighty hand, that he may lift you up in due time. Cast all your anxiety upon him, because he cares for you. Be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that your brothers throughout the world are undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Some worse than me. Nobody's offered tried to cut my head off so far. The most I've been did was called a name. That's about the maximum, you know. All right. Key focus here is this verse 8. It says, be self-controlled and alert, okay? Your enemy, the devil. Now, see, understand, lions, I was watching one of them programs where they, you know, Animal Kingdom, something like that. Anyway, and a lion, what he does when he see a crowd of prey, he roars. So naturally, they take off, and he searches out for the one that's running the slowest. And then he goes hunting after them. And that's the one that he go after. And seeing what he does, like I say, you will have experiences in life. You know, this is why, you know, one of my, somebody that I know was facing challenges in life. And they uttered the words, I am tired. And I immediately told them, don't announce that. You're letting the devil know that he's gaining ground. See, what comes out of your mouth reveals what's going on with you. Shake that off, you know. You have to change how you deal with these issues. You can't do it the way the world. You don't just say what's on your mind, because everything on your mind isn't necessarily placed there by you. Remember, you got demons out there, and they are allowed to speak, and a lot of times this is what they'll do. They'll see situations. They've been working this psychology for thousands of years, and they know what might work. They'll try anyway. And if you haven't been prepared, okay, by the word, then you will fall for the game. You'll say, I made one step forward and two steps back. See, once I got the revelation of that, I quit saying that. I say, I made one step forward, I win some and I win some. I don't say I win some and I lose some. I say I can't lose them all. I don't say I win some, I lose some. I see, you have to change the word. If the devil only knows by how you carry yourself, how you speak, whether or not he's making headway with his attack. Because you will experience something that I love. This woman of God introduced something I hadn't heard, stack attack. Your tires go flat, you get a bill in the mail, you sure didn't get sick, you know, you get bad groceries. I mean, it just seems like you get bum rushed. But, you know, a lot of this comes from the fact that you're growing in grace, too. Or, I mean, you make any effort to grow. When you start growing, and I don't get discouraged by this, but once you start praying more for other people, remember, whenever you are praying, you are attacking the kingdom of Satan. Whenever you pray for somebody, and in particular if you pray for somebody like a person that nobody really likes, I'm not going to call their name, even though they held a high official office, Satan really hates you. See? Because he understands. He prizes his possessions. The same way God prizes and prizes, we're so precious to us, Satan's kingdom and captives are precious to him. And when you are praying and you're the only one with authority to do that, he gets mad. And naturally, he reacts. And he will come after you. And if you do, you just pray. See, this is why you have to be educated in the knowledge of the power of God that you have been given. Acts 1:8, Jesus said, After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall have power. And there, listen. There's no reason, no way an omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent, almighty God would give you something for nothing. So if he gave you power, it's to be used. Power does what? Overcomes resistance. That's what you do with power. Okay? Now, so now let us look at some things, some areas that let's look at Proverbs 24:16. See, because like I say, you're going to face some challenges. This is why it amazed me. I remember years ago, it was a particular preacher. You know, he had started out, I mean, when I was watching him on TV, and I mean, he was a blessed, and it was growing. I didn't have, you know, I was new to the faith, but I did know enough at that time that when he got into trouble, that I was supposed to pray for him, because by that time I had read Galatians chapter 1 and other areas, which Galatians chapter 6 verse 1 says, if a brother is taken in a fall, you which are spiritual, restore such one in the spirit of meekness. What amazed me was senior leaders in the body of Christ began to criticize and attack him. I mean, it's enough he had the federal government coming down on him, which he did. He eventually wound up going to prison. But that, what happened? See, this is what happened when you step out in faith in big. It's come with you. This is why I don't get disturbed when people talk about, well, a pastor got caught up. You know what? It's tactical in warfare to go after leaders. It's tactical. So if you become a leader when you become a praying person. You might be the only one in your block. You look at your block and listen to it with your neighbor. Get to know your neighbors. And if you know you praying every day, you're a leader. And Satan can detect where you are, because he knows where you are, because he knows where God will let him know. But you have authority over him. Remember this. 1 John 4:4, write it down, make your little post, put it up on the wall. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He that is in the world is the devil. He that is in you is the who that is in you is the Holy Spirit. Okay? Now, what would I say? Oh, 24:16. Now, listen at this. It says, for though a righteous man falls seven times, he rises again. But the wicked are brought down by calamity. Now, I mean, think about that. You know, I mean, though a righteous man falls seven times, though a righteous man, that's almost an oxymoron. A righteous man, you would think, would never fall. But again, that happens because why? They're a minority. They're the smallest. I remember when God was talking to the nation of Israel and he was reminding him, don't think that you are that, because y'all the smallest thing out here. You're the smallest army, but you got the biggest God. And seeing what you read in the Old Testament, in the physical, is what you have in the spiritual. We'll get to Romans chapter 8. But the point here is, historically, consistently, see, this was written, I believe, by Solomon. Let me see. Let me make sure if I got it in here. Okay, it doesn't give me that. But a lot of the book of Proverbs was written by Solomon. Solomon, a classic case. You know, if Jesus hadn't said that he was the wisest man ever, you know, on the human level, born of a woman, beside Jesus, I wouldn't have believed it. Because Solomon, as smart as he was, intelligent as he was, where did he get his intelligence? What? See, when I'm talking about the spirit of wisdom, when I'll be praying the spirit of wisdom, that's what I'm talking about. The intelligence of wisdom that comes from God. See, the wisdom that has the information to make the right decision. And Solomon was known for that. So much so that people visited him for counsel as a young man. Because he was brilliant, but his brilliance, he even acknowledged, he did have enough sense to acknowledge his brilliance came from God. He just had a problem with the women. And seeing that was the amazing thing, that he had a problem with the women. Now, in the law, it said that a king shall not multiply unto himself wives. Now I know they put a restriction on the king, and you know, believe me, one wife is enough. You know, these guys that have more than one wife, they beat them women. They try to. Anyway, they don't in America because they might get shot. But anyway, he did some, you know, he got, I cannot see myself. Before Christ, I probably would have done some of any and everything, okay? Because you don't have, you know, you don't realize you're being influenced by demons. But since Christ, there's just automatic limits that I have, okay? And then as I've grown, as I've studied the word, and as I've come to recognize that God is preparing me for eternal leadership as a king and a priest, through, he is not expanding the universe for nothing. Because he just bored. Let me see how big I can make the universe. Let's just let this thing run. No, God does everything with a purpose. We are a purpose. You know, this particular man of God that had a tour of heaven, he talked about how they were conducting classes in heaven. You know, so this is, and when you think about the complexity of what it is, in the depth that it is, you can understand that. All right, but in the process, you know, David, the Solomon's father, you know, which was another amazing thing. When he got caught up in adultery, he had 10 fine wives. And I know they were fine because he was the king. And king going to get, they were fine, whatever he thought was fine. You know, everything that's fine ain't fine. Knowing the king, he probably had one of everything. And again, he had 10 when he shouldn't have had more than two. Okay, because he's king. He got to run the kingdom. He got a lot, enough. He got to run the kingdom. He got to run an army. He got to run the economy. He got to do all that and attend to God at the same time. So he didn't have time for all that. But as a result, he wound up, you know, at a time, you know, I can't confirm it, but I think it was a little conspiracy going on with his 10 wives because, you know, they didn't have Viagra back then, and there's no way David should have had a need with 10 wives, okay? But he did. And then of all, he gets caught up with what? His general's wife, not another single woman. He could have had another single woman, but he gets caught up with a general's wife, and then what happened? Just like Paul. He did something evil. He didn't even just come out and say, okay, man, I slept with your wife. I'm sorry. You know, I know we ain't going to be friends like that no more. He sets the man up to be assassinated to hide the fact that he had got the man's wife pregnant. See, again, in the background, you got Satan doing what Satan do. See, the thing about it is there's very little that you hear details, almost in both the Old and New Testament, but mostly in the Old Testament, you do not hear a lot about Satan. So as a consequence, people don't know about him. You know, he do little slippery stuff you know, I mean, because you can't fight what you don't see. You know, he fought Goliath. Goliath was like 9 feet tall, 800 pounds, so he could fight that. But then, see, the suggestion in his mind, no doubt, and this is one thing I do know about Satan, is he do attack leaders. Because you hit the head, you make the body, you shake the body. And that's what he does. I've seen that over and over again. I've seen people lead a church because the pastor got caught up. No, listen. You know, my first thought was, all these people in this church, obviously we did not pray enough for the pastor. That's my thought. And I did not understand because I knew that once I made my first error, and then by the time I got to my 200th, I began to understand. This is what Paul was talking about. This, your flesh is a constant challenge to you. Your flesh ain't no smarter than it was the day you came out of your mama's womb. I mean, I look at, I'm not going to talk about them people on that fat show, you know, where they're all like 800, 900 pounds. But that's demonic in and of itself. But just say people like me. I lost about 40 pounds recently. Now, the thing is what causes that? The same provocation you find any era in life, it's the same provocation. okay, drugs, overeating, overcharging, charged cars, same thing, corruption, same the spirit of corruption, same thing, same demon, same dummy. And it's constant, but we have to be on guard for that. We have to be on guard consistently. So, like I said, I'm pointing this message to you young people. Don't quit because you mess up. Now, one of the things you have to remember, when you mess up, just say, Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. Forgive me. 1 John 1:9, it says that we confess our sins. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Okay? Which means if you lend your ear to him, he will replace whatever it is that's allowing the enemy to manipulate you into doing wrong, and you'll counteract it with the word. You always overcome a thought with the word. You always overcome a thought with the word. See, now I'm going to slip right in here to Zechariah chapter 3. And this is just a clip. Now, understand what is going on. This is a brief picture, like when I was talking about David and even yourself or even myself, what is going on. It says, and then he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right side to accuse him. The Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. It is not a man with a burning stick snatched from, is not this man a burning stick snatched from the fire? Talking about Joshua, you know. Anyway, God then cleaned him up. It says, now Joshua was dressed in filthy clothes as he stood before the angel, and the angel said to those who were standing before him, take off his filthy clothes. Then he said to Joshua, see, I have taken away your sin, and I will put rich garments on you. So you're getting a little dirty. You know, I remember my third week of being delivered, sitting down, because, you know, some things I was just seemed like I was just struggling with, and I'm like, I'm overcoming this. This is a natural part of life. This is what I do. I've been doing this so long. And the Lord told me, it was one of them, I call these epiphany moments, when God just point blank talk. And I don't know why sometimes he talks plain, and other times, you know, it's like the phone call comes from another dimension. It does come from another dimension, and it takes so long. But I take that back. I just heard my pastor say the same thing I've been saying. When you're new in Christ, God is he's a little more, how do I say this? Let's say he give you more leeway. I mean, it is amazing because when my pastor was talking about, he talked about how when you first started out, the Bible would drop open on the page that you needed to read so that you would learn what you needed to know. And then later on, you have to really develop your memory, search it out, and research it, and dig it out. And that's the way it is. But the thing here is to remember God's intention. His intention is for you to win, for you to win. You just have to do your part. That's all. You do your part. One of those things is whenever you get off, ask God forgiveness, then ask him for revelation on how to get corrected. See, this is why you also need to spend time. You got to be careful about who you watch and listen to on YouTube. You know. Forget people that are not teaching you how to. I'll make it narrow for you. I noticed this. There's a lot of prophets on YouTube. You don't need to know the prophet. Because you ain't got to worry about today. You only have to worry about right now. You want to listen to people that's going to teach you. If they're not talking about how to walk this walk, just go on by them. Now, if you just got bored and you want some entertainment, okay, because I don't need to know about angels. I don't need to know what an angel told you. You know what I mean? That was for you. My life is not built around communicating with angels. My life is built on the word. The word is enough. It has all the answers that you need. Everything is in the Bible. Believe me, everything is covered in the Bible. All right? So I want to throw this little stick in there, little wood on the fire. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27, another common scripture. Might as well read 3:26, because there's, in your anger, do not sin. I see a lot of anger today. And a lot of it is frustration, I think. If you're frustrated, you're not doing Isaiah 26:3. It says, if you keep your mind on the Lord, he will give you perfect peace. Keep your mind. Because look at what it says. In your anger, do not sin. And particularly, this is part is for you married people and for you folks that have strong business relationships. Married people and people with strong business relationships and others that qualify, do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. And do not give the devil a foothold. See, you can give him a foothold if you do that. Mark 11:25-26 said, if you don't forgive, God won't forgive you. And it amazed me. That, let me tell you how dangerous that is. Satan only needs a second. Look how quick an auto accident happened. Look how quick a stray bullet occurs. You give up angelic protection, okay? You give up protection that you don't know about when you over something as simple as that. Satan, see, that's the foothold. When you open that door for him, you do not want to do that, particularly now with all this craziness going on. Listen, it's crazier now than it was when I was in my 20s. It was not like this. It was no people every week, somebody getting shot at on the freeway. We did not have that here. That was an Arizona thing. Arizona was known for the road rage capital of the world. We were not having that here. And they ain't got nothing. It don't have nothing. Most of these people don't have licensed weapons. So don't tell me it's the issue of, well, they let everybody have a gun. Well, look at Chicago. Chicago got the strictest gun laws in the nation. They have more shooting than they have over there in Afghanistan. Okay? It's demonic, period. It's demonic. Which means somebody over there need to be doing some serious praying. You know, one thing, we're not talking about that today, but the more you need something, the more you need to be on it, okay? You really need to learn. Learn what you can about prayer. Go get some books on prayer. You need to understand that's authority that God has given you, see? Because you're in a war. You are in a war, and that war will go on till Jesus come and get us. In the meantime, you just have to fight the good fight of faith, all right? Now, okay, got time for one more. I want to do Romans before time run out. I want to do Romans chapter 8, verse 37. You know, I want this in your memory. Write this down, especially you new people. Okay. I'm going to start at verse 35 and say, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? I mean, that is not just a cliche. That's not a cliche. I'm telling you. You really got to get into that. Amen. You got to go. Sometimes, like I said, there's reading the Bible and there's studying the Bible. And then there's meditating the word. Say, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. And you know, let me read this. No. In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. He said all that, what I'm saying with that, on top of that, don't quit. And don't let these, if you're in a situation, if you're over, and you happen to listen to this, and you're over in India, and you're over in Pakistan, and you're over in one of those countries where you're being persecuted, that has nothing to do with whether or not God loves you. And don't, if you're being persecuted, it isn't because you sinned before you got saved. Don't listen to that lie. God educate us out of sin. He does not punish us for sin because Jesus died for our sin, if he punished us for our sin, that means Jesus' death did not save us. See, I know people say that. Now, that isn't saying that if you do something stupid like, well, I've been roller skating for 6 years and I fell and I broke my hip. That didn't have nothing to do with whether or not I had sin. That was just the fact that I hit something. That was just an incident that happened. Well, actually, I think it was. I'm going to tell you one thing that was different that day. Normally, when I pray, I command angels in numbers. I know most people, I command angels in numbers. And this particular time, I just said, let your angels encamp around about me. As I left home, and angels encamp around about my house. And then and I'm a hunted man. Satan don't like me because I pray every day, almost every day, almost every morning. Sometime during the day, I'm going to pray. But I do set aside an hour minimum to pray. You know, and I pray in the Holy Ghost for an hour. I pray for the whole world. I pray for the country. I pray for my nation. I pray for the leadership. That's warring against the devil. And when you're consistent like that, he's going to go for every opportunity he can. So he took that opportunity. Actually did me a favor. Now I got a bionic replacement. New and improved. But anyway, I even had a sanctified, Holy Ghost-filled, tongue-talking, blessed Bible-reading doctor do the surgery. How good is God? Okay? But see, my recovery, you know, I'm frequently being told by people, I got about 900 people praying for me. I mean, my recovery has been quick. I ain't going to tell y'all what, I do have some more skates. My wife, bless her heart, donated my skates because she would call herself looking out for her resistant husband. Listen, anyway, I love her to life. All right, but my point is, youngins, don't quit. I don't care what it is. I don't care what you get caught up in. I don't care how many times you do it. If you, listen, let me tell you a clear sign God threw with you. You will be dead. If you're alive, if you can speak, if you can talk, God is not through with you. Okay? So that means get back on your horse. Get back to riding the Holy Ghost. Get back to walking. Fight again. You know what? One of my strongest motivations for living right and praying is revenge against the devil. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Every time I think about what he has done to my life, I am motivated to attack him. And I know prayer does it. Prayer is like launching missiles at him, and I love it. That's why I love doing it. I pray for the worst of the worst because it's attacking his territory. If he's been messing with your kids, attack his territory. Mess with his kids. Man, he's been stealing from you, steal from him. That's what you do. That's how you live this life. Enjoy this life. Amen. All right, so we down to the last part, and we're going wherever the Holy Ghost take us from there. But the bottom line is this. Remember, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. But you have to use the power. You have it. Just get the word. You can Google the word. If you're not, send me an email. The information will be at the end of this. Well, be on the website anyway. But you can hit 7trainingday@gmail.com. 7trainingday@gmail.com. If you have any questions, anything that you concerned about, but anyway, send it to me and I'll deal with it. Amen. But for the new people, accepting Jesus Christ is not just a religious ritual. It is an actual agreement between you and God, and that is the price that it cost, was his death and his burial and his resurrection. He paid the cost so that we don't have to suffer the loss. And all you have to do is say this prayer. You need to acknowledge some things, that we were born in sin and that we need a Savior. So just say this prayer with me. Lord God, I believe that Jesus is your Son, and I believe he died for me on Calvary, and he bore my sins for me. And I believe that he died and he rose from the grave and is alive right now. And as Lord Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart and save me right now. And I believe in my heart, and I say with my mouth that Jesus is my personal Lord and Savior, and I am right now born again. And for those of you that have tripped and fall, the devil stuck his foot out there and caused you to fall, don't give up, get back in, and just simply say this: Lord God, forgive me. I was hurt, I was confused, and I was challenged, but I'm ready to try again. And I ask for your forgiveness, and I believe I receive it right now. See how simple God made this life? I mean, I've been at this for 45 years. I done tripped and fall so many times. If a man, righteous man, falls seven times, shoot. I remember a time that happened in a week. But it's the thing is, if you keep going, if you're still alive, you still got your right mind, amen, God loves you. And remember this, prayer works by faith, faith works by love, and God is love. Shalom. Amen. Praise God.
Yeah. Today. Said I woke up to the summer, shining through. Calling all my friends, asking what's the move. Feeling a little different, I'm on something new.
Today,
I ain't gonna let no clouds get in my way. The only road I'm walking is the one I pick. Catch me sitting in the sun, no time for shade.
Today,
ooh. This is the day that the Lord has made.
Ooh.
And I ain't gonna let it slip away.
I'm gonna be joyful.
I got that feeling that you get when you get new kicks. Bell ringing on the last day of singing, yeah. High fiving everybody, but we out of here.
Today.
So fast, life comes and goes. Make it last, best slow your roll. They don't take it as a choice, but you gotta know that today's the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. And I ain't gonna let it slip away, nah.
I'm gonna be joyful.
I got the joy, joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the J-O-Y down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the joy, joy down in my heart. Today, today.